pronouns are he, him, and welcome to God's Fall.
My name is Aram. My pronouns are he, him, and I am playing the God of Chaos.
The Union stands in the midst of beautiful, verdant fields. A tower hewn by the gods, standing straight as a beacon of their power. And at the top is a moment of flux. A concentration of power expended that this world has never seen and may never see again. Radiating out are these tendrils, these fine red lines stretching into other galaxies, other universes, other planes. And we follow one of them. Out past the stars, through the astral sea, the pink and purple swirl, down into a world where we see the clean, crisp outline against the sea of the Sword Coast. Deep within there, beneath the tempest, beneath the screaming and the clawing, there is a web woven by spiders of chaos and malice. Sitting nestled in this city of roiling betrayal and hate is a palace. Composed largely of huge dark stones and webs woven into the very fabric of the building. Near the back, further away from the entrance, is a lovely little walled-off garden. What does your garden look like?
What does the sky look like in this world?
So up is far enough away at this point that there is at least an illusion of sky. You look and you can see probably the little bits and specks of bioluminescence along sort of cave walls far off in the distance. A sort of a perpetual twilight, the kind of dancing fires, the web on which this entire domain sits is actually a little bit concave. So looking up sort of along the horizon, you can see fires where sometimes people are living, sometimes people are in the process of not living anymore. But regardless, things burn.
Then I would say that in an environment like this, in a perpetual twilight environment, that a lot of the plants would have to bring their own color. So most of the garden is mushrooms and spores and bioluminescent lichen and glowworms and things like that. And that's all kind of woven in with webs and different spiders. And it's a very creepy garden, but it's beautiful.
It's almost that fusion of architecture, sculpture, and botany.
Yeah.
Where you're not letting like the trees grow on their own. You're creating a surface for these mushrooms and lichen to kind of manifest on. Then it's just sort of carving the lines out of that textured surface.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you're just kind of like walking amongst this tangled, broken architecture that's there purely so the plants can grow.
You've been resting for the past, let's call it, month or so. It's been agonizing, not because of the wounds. The wounds are a minor inconvenience, but simply the fact that
I'm bored.
Your son, bless him, finally decided to, unfortunate pun, to make a stab for the throne. And he did much better than anyone would have expected. You had to tug on your grandson a little bit, rein in the leash a little, and have him attack. As your boy and his son toppled over the promenade, falling deeper into the abyss, battling one to kill you, one to defend you despite an insane desire that you die, you were able to kind of make your way back. It's taken the bulk of your power to essentially keep yourself alive and then begin knitting yourself back together.
It was exciting. Like, it was a very exciting time. I enjoyed it, but the come down from these little manic episodes, right? And now having to deal with, like, all the consequences. It's just fucking exhausting.
It is very interesting, though, because usually you're the one who, like, you can prepare for the consequences, because usually it's your plan. There's that, like, there was that half-hearted hope of, like, maybe he'll pull it off. Maybe he can do this one, because at least then he'll deal with the consequences, and it's his plan. If he does well, good for him.
In that moment, I was ready. But then, of course, you know, again, you know, breaking through that mania and realizing, oh, wait, no, I can just call my idiot a grandson. And then just being so disappointed that it was that was the solution, and that, you know, part of me is like glad I'm alive, but the other part of me is like, all I do is call him and he just came like a golden retriever and now they're fighting each other and it's all so boring and dull again, and also I'm wounded and I have to do all this work. Yeah, that sucks.
You've been dealing with constant noise. There's been a background ever since of your worshippers calling on you, trying to milk a little bit of divine power out of you, calling on you for spells, for favors, all of that fun cleric paladin nonsense. But you have your own things going on, and they can handle their own lives or potentially their own deaths, depending on how well things go for them, for the next little bit. It is not your problem until you are well.
And even then, you know, maybe I'll get to it.
It's been, while you were trying to sort through that noise, trying to almost weave yourself a sound cancellation, trying to just mute them.
They're actively talking to me. My advisors are in the room trying to give me updates, and I'm just sitting there weaving this soundproof barrier. Uh-huh, yes, keep talking.
And the thing that you've realized is there is a gap. There's one thing that constantly gets through, and you can see it. It's almost like in this web you're weaving, all these sort of fantastical sort of purple and pink swirling threads that you weave into this. There's the red thread. There's just one noise, one thing that keeps pulling on you that is not yours.
I bet she's probably been trying to ignore it. So she's been trying to weave herself into this cocoon. She's just going to shut everything out and she's just going to heal and be unbothered. But as she's weaving this cocoon with these purple and pink and kind of like, you know, deep bluish threads, right? She will occasionally weave this red color in, but not realize it until she shifts her perspective and the light hits that thread differently and reveals it as red. And then she very frustratingly has to back up and work that color out, and she casts it aside and she starts to weave again, but then it ends up in the design again. So she keeps like having to redo her work over and over until she gets so frustrated that she casts the project aside and has to deal with the red ADHD thread because she's forced to. So she's now, yes, she's gonna just, she just rips her cocoon open and goes to, you know, tosses all the work aside and goes to track down what that thread is about.
So you've reached this peak point of frustration. You were left in your garden, nominally relaxing, weaving yourself into this little cocoon, this place where you were kind of safe from the harassment of your worshippers. And finally, the frustration breaks. You tear it open, you start following this thread, and it leads directly through the chest of a handmaiden who's coming towards you. You recognize this one. She's usually the one to bring you wine. She's very meek. One of the newly dead who hasn't quite fallen into her position yet. She simply died as a drow. She was never elevated. And yet she finds herself in the presence of her goddess.
Susan, isn't it?
My lady, I was known as Baelith in my home, but if you would like to call me Susan, Susan would be a permissible name.
Baelith?
Lith.
Baelith?
Leth.
Baileth.
With an E. Thank you.
Yes. Baileth. Leth. Yes. Anyways. And she just like plucks the red string off her and just casts it to the ground. Very disappointed. Like it's just, she doesn't hide her emotions well, right? They just are rest on her face.
And you see two things. First is the effect of your tone, which is just kind of like, she just crumples a little bit. Like, she's disappointed in me. I've been chosen to serve her, and yet I'm just not enough. I will never be enough. I died for her, and yet I'm still... She's creating her own personal little hell in her head, and now that you're outside of the cocoon, you can almost hear it like a prayer. It's very obnoxious.
You are a souffle of a person. What is it that you need?
As she speaks, her voice manifests as sound waves. You can see it, and tied through in just like some of the overtones, some of the higher frequency components, is this little red thread. You have a visitor.
Very gently cup her on the shoulders, like only one finger actually touches her. She's kind of grossed out by her, but she's, you know, she'll try. She gently grabs her by the shoulders, raises her up. There we go. That wasn't so hard, was it? Yep. Show me to them.
This is... They requested to meet you in the throne room. And I...
And then she would just, like, stop and, like, look around. Like she's not even aware of where she currently is. Am I in the throne room?
Yeah. You almost rewrite that following the thread is, like, almost Scooby-Doo fingers in front of your nose.
Right.
You take a look around. You're in one of the, like... You had to declare a north at some point simply to be able to describe the place to your worshippers. You're in one of the southeastern turrets. No, mistress, this is a stairwell.
Ah, I see, a stairwell. It's, well, I suppose, show me to my throne room then.
Yeah, yes, ma'am, of course. It would be my unending pleasure.
Yes.
And she leads, and the moment she's not looking at you, you see her, like, straighten up. And there's a point where a door opens, and there's a servant who's, like, coming through towards you. And she puts a hand on this person's chest and just shoves them back against the wall. There's an active impact. They drop everything. And there's a moment where you get just, like, okay. That's why she's here. She's terrified of me.
Right, but no one else.
That I can get behind.
Hello, Jeff, as I just, like, kind of step around him.
My lady, my name is... And she steps on the man's leg.
Your name is now Jeff.
You're led through to your throne room, and it is wide and empty. You can see these stained glass windows that were woven in. There is no immediate pattern to them. When you look down, it's just that the way they overlap from the various angles, the shadows from the bars in between the panes, it weaves this nice little almost fractal pattern. It creates that sort of structure of the carpet down the middle. They were put in by you. At a glance, it is chaos, it is disorder, it is madness, and then there is a clear path through it. And you're left standing in front of your throne, looking around a quiet, empty room.
As we're walking into it, I am, you know, without any prompt whatsoever, describing my entire thought process for all the stained glass windows and how the shadows play. It's like, like she's heard this speech so many fucking times. I'm like, yes, I really am quite brilliant.
There's a point where you're like, every once in a while, especially now, there's a certain resistance to explaining yourself. The God of Chaos does not outline the order inherent in what they do. But as a god of manipulation and scheming, of intrigue, there's always just that thread through the middle. And now, you gotta explain it sometimes. You're getting into, like, mathematical theory of how you knew it would work.
At a glance, I just knew. I built it all in my head, and then I just did it. That's why I'm so great. It's like, well, there's more words, but that basically is how it, you know.
Yeah. I came up with the idea. It was perfect. I implemented it. I was correct. It was perfect. and now it's here.
And I also picked the best tradesmen, because they're all in hell with me.
Yes.
This all went so great.
It was wonderful. I had the idea. I realized I needed someone to implement it. I convinced a man to cheat on his wife. Then I had him murdered. Once he got here.
And she killed him. Oh, it was great. Yes, and then all that effort to make sure all of that lines up, right? And it's perfect. It's absolutely fucking perfect. And she's still like, oh, I'm so fucking bored. Like, what a bummer. Like, that's gotta suck.
That killed, what, 2-3 years? It was very dull. This was while Torm was wandering around doing things. I didn't want to deal with the world at that point. Torm is such a bore.
Just the worst.
You arrive at your throne. There is a long, obnoxious pause. And as you're sitting there, Baelith turns. Shall I bring wine while we wait?
Yeah, I mean, I would have a pretty standing order that there's always wine. So yeah, that seems right. Like, of course, the good wine. Yes.
Of course, I will return immediately, ma'am. She leaves. It takes longer than it should, because of course the throne is in the middle of the room, and the room is enormous. Yeah.
Right. It's just like, it's just a football field of space and this tiny throne just in the center with nothing else around it.
Some gods in their thrones manifest as these tremendous beasts. To go to the example we previously mentioned, Torm is always flanked by these giant golden lions. Bane was always one for ostentatious displays of power.
Gotham will rue the day that I became the god of tyranny.
Honestly, not separate, those two characters. But after the 40 or so seconds that it takes your servant to leave the room, out of the shadows steps a shape. Leather armor, relatively sleek, very, very well made, clearly meant to move in. This is something that, like, it was specifically built to almost do athletic activity in. A simple cloak over it pulled low, and you can see just the bottom edge of a, not even a full-blown mask, like a bandana that is pulled over the face, just dangling out of the shadow of the cloak.
Susan is terrible at her job. Like, that is the first thought she has. Like, ugh, this has just not gone right at all. But if this was an assassin, even though I hadn't noticed them, obviously they're very talented, but if they planned to assassinate me, they wouldn't have appeared so clearly in front of me. So I'm not exactly worried.
This is not a step out of the shadows, like out of a corner. This is legitimately where two lines cross from the structures in the stained glass windows. This shape just comes out of it. He waits, and when you kind of give the little of acknowledgement, he bows.
Should I still call you the Weaver? Or does everyone call you Lolth these days?
So many of us are attached to our names, centered on them, as if they make us who we are. Anything will do. Anything said
out of respect.
Shadow Boy, is it?
Do I know who this is?
Look. You see the head cock, just the shape of the movement under the cloak. You recognize Mask.
Oh, yes. I know who you are, Mask. Welcome to my court.
He takes a step forward and he turns it into a little bit of a bow, but as he kind of lowers the one knee, you see his leg kind of give a little bit. Mask has been tremendously injured. He was attacked by the Hound Kezif. He was in the form of a sword for a little while and was snapped in half. Part of his portfolio was stolen that way.
Do I know all this? Like, do I have notes on all this?
Of course.
Okay, of course, yeah.
This is specifically within your portfolio. This was relatively recently when Sirik rose to power and seized control of Chaos as a domain from, I want to say he took it from Baal. immediately you're tapped into some of the ongoings of what he's doing, and all of this sort of ties together. The three of you, Sirik, Mask, yourself, are all gods of chaos. So there's a certain amount of just, you can feel the ripples from everything they do.
Right. It's like with the Jedi, like I know one is close.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So yeah, then I would just get up and I would glide down from my, I'm assuming like pillar-like throne, right? I would just kind of glide down to where he is. And I'd put a hand on his shoulder, give him a very motherly hug. There, come now. To the healing pits with you.
He lets his sort of hood fall back, and it's like that bandana pulled up over the face, except all the way over the face. It becomes just like entirely his head is cloth with two white eye slits in it. Anytime he speaks, you can see the motion of a jaw under it. Thank you. It would be greatly appreciated. These have been difficult times. And he walks forward, and you see the momentum sort of carry his mask back through where that jaw clearly must have existed.
Interesting. And she's thinking like, well, don't go for the head.
He walks beside you, and as you kind of pull back from the hug, and you just sort of brush his shoulder a little bit, and you look at some of the little bits of lint your hand has come away with, and there are these little red spindly guys. The little red threads, almost like lint, that come away.
So I would walk with them then. I assume we're going to run into Susan.
You come out the door. Susan is coming in the direction with the wine, immediately sort of like does the large curtsy and holds up the little platter with a bottle and a glass.
Are there two glasses? Did she at least get that right?
Of course.
Okay, thank God.
She knew there was a guest. She did not know where the guest was, but she knew etiquette.
Both glasses. I will hand one to Mask. I will keep one for myself. We are going to the healing baths. Are they this way?
Yes, ma'am. I'll have them readied.
She's one of my favorites. Doesn't really belong here, but she's learning. She's learning.
You say this, and she puts her hand into the wall. Like, it sinks in maybe a quarter inch, and then you just see spider web lance along the stone in light in the direction you're meant to go.
Wonderful. They're so helpful.
They are well-behaved. Mine are somewhat troublesome, but they bring me back interesting things.
It's probably because your leadership is so weak. Shall we? And she just gestures down the hallway.
He keeps walking along, and he takes that entirely in stride.
I've had this discussion with others before, but you cannot be the king of thieves and a tyrant. I give them guidance. I ask only that they pay their tithe. They do. Those that do not are torn apart. But there is another thief in the world. I'm sure you've heard of Sirik's activities, his antics.
Yes.
Then I'm sure you know what he took from me.
Does she, or she is like, is she bluffing? Does she know what Sirik took from him?
Give me an insight roll.
I rolled a 9, but I have a plus 16, so that's 25.
25 is good enough, because what Mask lost is he is the god of thieves primarily, but sort of a subdomain of that is intrigue. He's also the god of heists and planning and
right.
Yeah, he's not anymore.
Right.
Something's wrong with him.
He can't. Everything's on the surface. And I imagine she would have figured that out with like three questions.
Even just when he moved in a way that let his knee buckle.
Right.
When you could see that little bit of injury, that weakness, the mask you've always known is subtle. He would have kept that under wraps just enough that, like, you wouldn't have had it to work with.
He's taken your ability to be interesting.
I will grant he's taken my ability to be subtle, but I do think I can still be interesting to you. Weaver, would you like a blade that could injure a god?
And she would, like, you know, again, has no poker face whatsoever. Like, oh, Why, yes, I would love such a knife.
Then I can still be interesting to you. Through here?
She nods, and they would get to a door, I suppose.
He lets himself in. Sort of a thing for the god of thieves.
Right.
You don't really wait to be invited.
Like a tactless reverse vampire.
He enters, and there is... What do your healing pits look like? Is this like the... that shitty Wanted movie where there's like a bunch of...
I'm picturing like we must have gone down a considerable way, like it, yeah. And then like in the basement are these primordial you know like cave-like pits that are glowing and bioluminescent, just covered in spider webs everywhere.
So we're leaning a little bit more Ra's al Ghul than Hotel Spa.
100%. Yeah, it's definitely Ra's al Ghul. It's all like, you know, like this was here when she built it, and she's just using whatever it is.
He looks and says, "This is... I would have expected a little bit more decor from you, but..."
"I could make this place look different. I could dress it up in any way you wish. Make it better." And then she just kind of reaches over and gently pats him on the shoulder. "But I think that you know all too well."
"It never really helps."
"Things are only what they are." And he slowly, like, doesn't take off the boots, the leathers, nothing. The cloak, basically, as he walks in, doesn't float up, like, in the water. It just dissolves. And he lounges kind of back into the pool.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
So what does he look like without the cloak on?
You can see the build a little better is what it amounts to. He's still wearing those like very well-fitted leathers. It's not quite, you know, full-blown leather jacket. It is still very clearly armor. This is an athlete. We'll put it that way. He's not built strong.
He's built quick and lithe.
He's going to get in places. He's going to get up things.
He's definitely strong enough to climb and hang off ledges and shit like that and do backflips. But he's also like thin and yeah, I gotcha. All right, well, then I'll just drop my robes and just slide in there with them. So what brought you to me?
Well, unfortunately, reclaiming what was taken from me directly is not currently in the cards. The trial is still ongoing, and as long as Helm is observing things, it's honestly more trouble than it's worth.
It really could take forever.
Did you hear that the mortals are supposed to testify? The new Mistra and the new Death, what's his name? It's not important. He's... But God only knows how long they'll take. Mortals don't understand anything worth our time.
Trials are exhausting.
It's why you don't get caught. I am willing to accept a lesser control over my portfolio in the effort to make my way back to Sirik and slit his throat and take back what's rightfully mine. Now, as it would happen, you have some access to intrigue through your boy.
I do.
Vaeran, the son who attacked you, is essentially a drow replica of Mask, to the point where, like, they've kind of collaborated on a couple of things. Some of the more ridiculous mythological heists that are attributed to one or the other are often both of them. It's just that they are close enough in scope that even the myths don't necessarily know which is which or when there's more than one.
They were definitely dating. They're definitely gay boyfriend twins, right?
I mean, definitely. They absolutely have like a Batman Catwoman thing.
100%.
We just occasionally work together, and when we work together, you know, maybe some extra stuff.
If Batman and Catwoman looked exactly the same.
Yes.
That's how they would be, right? Oh, they're fucking exhausting, but also kind of cute. Like, you root for them, but you don't want to just be around their Instagram for more than a couple pictures.
They get tiresome.
I know my boy is in a pit fighting my grandson.
Yes.
Does it appear that Mask knows that?
This feels, especially now that you've like dragged him into a combination sauna hot tub thing, this feels a lot more organized crime. This is a ask for permission moment.
Oh, I get it. He just wants to come onto my turf.
And there is a point where you're like considering and looking at him and assessing, and that lack, that little bit that was there that isn't there anymore, it shows.
Yeah.
He just eventually, after a minute of silence, just goes, I'd like to kill your son, and I just want to make sure that I'm not stepping on any toes.
You have become rather direct. I have always appreciated that trait, Mask. Sure, we can come to some sort of agreement. Perhaps an escort, even. Assuming that this blade of yours is what you claim it to be.
The knife is less mine and more. He just like reaches into himself and comes out with a shard of blade. Looking at it, you can tell what this is. This isn't a knife. This isn't even a dagger. This is a short sword that was shattered.
He was turned into a sword of his own will or against his will?
He did it entirely on purpose.
Right, and then that sword was broken while he was in sword form.
He was skimming off the top. He made himself into a vampire sword, given that the sword itself was a god, could kill almost anything. And when someone killed with it, they took everything. If you killed a mortal with it, you would steal their life, however much they had left. If you killed a mage, you could take their spells, their casting ability. If you killed a god, you took everything that they had. And he just skimmed a little off the top as he was passing it through. It was great until, you know, they pieced it together and he was snapped. Shards go in all directions. Intrigue broke off before he could fully reform. Sirik managed to snag that, but he managed to limp away. You're having this little memory montage as he explains that one of his chosen managed to get into limbo temporarily and sneak away with a shard at the site where this big confrontation happened, where the sword was broken. It was embedded. He gets into the detail. It's embedded into a wall. The power had drawn a bunch of monsters nearby. Horrible, ugly things. Just terrible. He's going into all these details, and the entire time you're sitting there looking at the bottle and how, like, this is not large enough. And he is still talking.
But the blade looks good. So even broken, even in this current state, I know that's a very powerful thing.
you can actually see, like, the way he's gripping it. Like, he's holding it in this leather gauntlet. As far as you know, there's not really anything under the leather. Mask might himself just be shadow. But rolling down, like, dripping into the pool, you can see blood. Just holding it is cutting him. And if it can do that passively, appropriate application could be tremendous in effect.
Well, I clearly need it.
Of course.
So we'll help him.
Good. Passage through your webs is somewhat difficult. Can I count on your guidance?
Oh, I'm definitely coming with you. Yes, we shall call it it'll be a journey, like in a story. Yes, two gods setting off deep into the demon web pits. Possibly to their doom, certainly to their torture and physical exertion. Yes, we shall go.
Hopefully to someone's doom. And he just stands bolt upright. There is no, like, moving you out of the way. There's no, like, wrap things up. It's just good, deal, done. He pulls a bit of fabric out of a pouch and just wraps the blade. And as his hand kind of comes away, you see that blood drip off his hand along the blade. And as it starts to fall, you see that little red connective drip. It doesn't form into a discrete ball and fall. It leaves that long, thread-like trail. This will stay with me for the time being, but when we find Vayrin and the point where he fell, I will give chase, and you will have your prize. Agreed?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a good deal for her. Like, she really doesn't have to do much, just kind of escort him, and then he'll do all the rest, but she just gets a knife out of it. So, yeah, she'll agree.
Of course. I mean, everything is fine. This is your territory. Who gives a shit?
Right, also, I was terribly bored, and this is something to do. So, yeah.
You know where this happened as well. This was out in the parade ground. You were naming one of your new chosen when the attack happened.
I haven't really been back since. Should probably check it out. I mean, there's a lot of things I can check off here.
As you're kind of proceeding towards the temple grounds, you can see that the population is thinning out, and it's getting more and more desperate the further in you get. Like, these are what you would refer to as the dregs. Eventually, like, there's one person who recognizes you, a woman in the street who's just kind of, like, huddled up. She's wearing one of the robes that your followers hand out to the recently deceased.
Oh, right, the bonus robe. Basically, yeah. You just arrive in hell and you get the bonus robe. Yeah.
Yeah, they're normally handed out as very, very clean woven spider silk. They're in your colors of, like, purples and silver. This is down to nearly a matte gray.
Oh. She's been here a while. Hasn't really moved up, has she?
Not so much. Again, downsides to hell. You don't die. She sees you walking through. Mask notices that, like, recognition and immediately just sidesteps into the shadow, like, I will not be a part of this. And she just scrambles forward on her hands and knees, just short of touching your feet. And just, my lady, I've worshipped you my entire life, and through death I have prayed to you endlessly. I knew that one day you would come to raise me out of this. I am so grateful for your eternal glory.
She looks down at her. And what is the name of my loyal follower who is so eager to draw my divine attention?
I am your humble servant. I have always been and I will always be. I knew that if I was patient and faithful, you would always come.
Yes. What is your name, though? You have a name, yes?
My lady, I'm called Yasmin.
Yasmin. She just kind of, like, it's fine. Like, it's a fine name, I suppose. Whatever. Anyways.
Yeah, that makes sense. She is a person who has a name. I suppose it would be dull.
Exactly. It would be disappointing, just like all of you are. And she just like, extends one finger to help her up.
She stands. Like, she pulls the shoulder back. She stands proud, and she looks in your eyes and says, "My lady, if there is a thing that I can do to serve your glory, I wait only for your command."
I would nod, and I'd look at her, this sad thing that didn't really do anything in life, hasn't done anything since, really hasn't added anything here, but she's willing, so let's give her what she wants. But just to make sure, I'm going to lean in and just wrap my spidery fingers around her shoulder and just get so my lips are just inches from her ear and ask her directly,
"What is it that you want, child?"
"I ask for the power to better serve you and to carve my place in this world."
"So be it."
Now, how would I do this normally? How would I transform a subject, a willing subject, into, let's say, a drider?
How do you want to do this? Because you've got a multitude of ways. This could be like an active shaping. Like, you could just do the thing. Or this could be like the standard godly, like, sort of reach out, thumb on one temple, pinky on the other, grasp their head, and then just push your will into them and their body rewrites itself. It could be a multitude of options.
She would begin, like, she'd reach to her side, to this little pouch she has with all of her, you know, weaver's tools, right? And then she'd look over towards the shadows and she'd just extend a hand and she'd be like, "Be it, dear, could I borrow that knife of yours?"
There's a look of horror in her face, and an arm just comes out of the shadow painted on the wall and drops a gleaming blade, white like a tooth, into your hand.
She just flip it between her fingers, turn back to the girl, just cup her ever so gently under the chin.
"Now, let's give you what you want."
When she stands back up, it's the same hair, same shoulders, and it rises until your head is at her chest height. And we kind of pull back and you can see the legs, all eight of them. She kind of looks to her fingers, now tipped in claws. She just kind of flexes in it.
She's the best one that, like with this blade, I was able to, like, cut deeper pieces, cut larger pieces, make a large, like, she's the best drider I've ever made.
The successful ones, the ones that you put effort into, retain sentience. But you can see the moment you look at her, the way she's appraising this, she remembers who she was. This isn't, you didn't birth a drider from a person. You made a person into a drider. And she looks, and she flexes, and she looks at her claws and drags them along the stone, and she just chisels through brick like it's nothing. She speaks, and there aren't words anymore. It's that chittering of insects. But through it, you get the message, the gratitude, the glory, the exaltation that you always deserved.
It's just like with Mabel. You just carve away what doesn't need to be there. And I'm just talking openly to Mask now as I hand the knife back over.
And he steps out and does the little same, like, polishing routine.
You just have to take away what's weighing them down and let them be what they were always meant to be. And she extends a hand and just gently rubs her new follower. Well, not new, but, like, just rubs her follower underneath the chin.
Go be the best you that you can be.
She bows, and as she does, she kind of, like, sinks down in the spider legs a little bit. And then she just springs upward vertically, a solid, like, 15 feet, and just skitters up a wall.
And I'd say she's genuinely happy. She's done something good here. and she feels reconnected. This was spiritual. This was her. This is what she had built. This is a reminder of what she had built. And she feels more connected to her and herself and her ideals than she has in a very long time. Are you ready to continue?
He just finishes kind of like wiping the last little bit of like ichor. Like there's this honestly borderline disconcerting mixture of blood and just black coming off the blade. He kind of finishes that. You're already like 10 feet ahead, looks up at where the drider went, and then there's just the and mask follows behind you.
I could give you some too. It might work with you.
I understand the irony given my current situation, but your creatures lack subtlety.
Look around. I'm not really subtle. It's not really about that. I like to be obvious. Chaos should be obvious. You can't just hide chaos in the shadows.
Have you ever seen a play where a joke pays off while the character who made it is not on stage? The trick is to make sure that no one notices you, but everyone hears the echo.
I am amazing. Everyone should know it. I know it. And I have no problem saying it. What you're working towards is fun. We can play these little games, and I do like taking a little side quest. However, if it's just that, if it's just this playing in the shadows, if it's just this little dance you do for this smug little enjoyment that only you get
backstage, then I don't really understand the point.
That's fair. I understand your perspective, but you miss the point of theft. I leave chaos in my wake. Those who discover things they relied on missing. This is all your glorious game. You leave chaos everywhere. Things cascade into destruction. People go about their way in desperate measures because they don't have what they thought they did. But I do.
As he says that, I've now seen him remove and replace this dagger twice. I want, as he says, that he does know where things are. I want to try to steal the dagger off him.
Okay. Give me a sleight of hand.
Now, this is risky against Mask. But my sleight of hand's pretty good. That's going to be an 18 plus 9. Is 27.
I've got a 17 plus 3 plus expertise. So that would be 32. There's a moment where you're like, essentially you try to draw his attention. You reach sort of the edge of civilization. You reach the parade grounds. It's usually a beautiful park, but looking over it, you can see that essentially, when Vayrin made his attack, he did not come alone. He had to keep your worshippers off of his back. So you can see these horrific monsters that he bred from his worshippers and demons fighting with your dead clerics, the driders, anything that you could muster, the handful of demons that you have command over. And there's that moment where you're espousing the beauty of mass chaos, and you try to just kind of reach, and you come back holding, like, just behind your back, the little wrapped bit of leather that he kept putting it back into, and you feel the hilt, and there's a moment of excitement until you remember that this is a shard of blade and there isn't a hilt, and you look over and you can just see the little bounce in the mask under where the cheekbones should be. He's not even looking at you, but he knows what he did.
Yeah. And she's like, and then she just sighs, like, fine, I suppose I'm rather good at this.
I understand the idea of half up front, but it's a dagger. You can't have half of it. You'll get it when we're done.
I didn't even want the dagger. It was more just like putting you in your place. You're like, I know where things are, and I was going to take it and be like, oh, do you? And then just hand the knife right back. It would have been a fun moment. I fucked it up. You're rather good at this.
You're a greater god, but I'm the god of thieves. This is my domain.
What is it that you're here to steal? Because it does sound like you're just here to pick up something that once belonged to you. Why else are you here?
Roll me a persuade.
Persuasion, all right.
Because you can see the moment you ask, he kind of like, you've cut to the point of it. And he's just a little bit hesitant.
16 plus 10 is 26.
He kind of like exhales and he just starts checking over equipment. You know, he's looking through like packs of lockpicks, going through daggers, a little bag of caltrops. He's making sure that he has this length of rope at his side.
Weeks worth of iron rations.
You can see iron rations.
Remember from 3.5, there was a difference between iron rations and normal rations, and the difference was that the iron rations could last longer. So like if you could buy the less heavy rations that weren't in an iron lockbox, I suppose, but you had to eat them within like 2 weeks, but the iron rations would last much longer.
Jesus Christ. No one paid attention to carrying capacity. What the fuck makes you think people are watching the expiration dates?
I was reading the Sunless Citadel just to prep for that Total Party Thrill series I'm editing, right? And literally in the opening text, it talks about walking past, you know, you walk through this valley and you pass, and I swear to God, it says 1d4 plus 1 abandoned shacks. It wanted you to roll in the description text to see how many utterly useless abandoned shacks you pass.
That's fucking great.
Anyways, so yeah, so she got caught, which is impressive to her. Like she's like, okay, so that's like, that's all the resume he needed to bring to the table. But she does need to know now why he's here.
So he kind of gives the long sigh and he pulls the dagger out one more time. This was my last great success. This was set into motion with contingency plans, with lairs. I have balls in the air, and I can't trace them anymore. I am the god of thieves, not the god of muggers, not the god of thugs. I will have my entire portfolio back at my command, and your son will be a stepping stone on that path.
Oh, excellent. I mean, I really care for him. Like, that's where he belongs. Good. As he should be.
He just kind of relaxes a little bit. Like, there's a certain amount of, like, intensity, sincerity to that whole spiel that he gave, and he just sort of exhale, the tension falls out, and then the same thing, you can visualize the sound of it when he says, certain things just have a draw to them. Some things you need to claim them, and they just pull you towards them, and there's that little thread through every word.
Thank you for joining us for God's Fall Season 6, Episode 9, Let Chaos Reign, Part 1. To listen to the next episode of God's Fall right now, check out patreon.com/godsfall. Want to watch us play live? Check out our streaming campaign, God's Fall Escape the Union, on twitch.tv/godsfall, or catch replays on youtube.com/godsfall. And we'll see you next time in the world of the Five Kingdoms.
This show was produced and edited by Dead Ghost Productions. Find out more about us and all the shows we make at deadghostpro.com.